Last night, Haley asked me, so what are you preaching on? She brought Eli down to see me. I was in the basement. So she thought he'd come down and spend some time with Grandpa. I said, what are you preaching on? I said, well, when Samuel calls, you know, when Eli's there, she says, that's you. Well, it's not that Eli. The sermon title is, Does God Still Call? And we've talked about this off and on. This text comes up at least once a year in 1 Samuel. And the text in John also comes up. And we look at these two stories, these two very complementary stories of God calling human beings, just regular human beings. Samuel at this point is a child. Nathaniel is just some guy with a bad attitude about Nazareth. I've always liked that part. Jesus liked it too, where he said, well, here's somebody, a true Israelite with no deceit in him. When Nathaniel goes, Nazareth? What good can come out of Nazareth? It's a hole. Last part isn't in the text, but it's certainly strongly implied. But the question that we have is, does God still call? And it's easy for us to say no, because when we think of the biblical stories of being called, these are the stories that we gravitate to, and it only makes sense. They're dramatic, and they're tremendously significant. I mean, Samuel is one of the towering figures in the Old Testament, a combination of priest and prophet to an extraordinary extent. The human being that God entrusted with the transition from the nation of Israel from being what it was in that sort of loose theocracy into an actual monarchy. In John, we see Jesus calling those 12 who will be the special 12, who will go on to change the world forever. And so we think of that and we go, does God still call? Well, maybe. Well, I don't know. I think he might have called Billy Graham. You know, and we think of Billy Graham, who has spoken the word of God to millions of people. We're sure he was called. And we think that the calling of God is given to those who are called into those dramatic roles in one way or another, and that it's limited to that. But as I was thinking of the text, particularly the Samuel text, and I was thinking of the times where someone in Scripture says, here am I. Particularly this close to Christmas, who else says, here am I? Mary says, here am I. And Mary had a critical role, to be sure. Being called to give birth to Jesus, to the Son of God, to that human being who is also fully God in that amazing way, is pretty extraordinary. But when you think of Mary's public ministry, it wasn't all that much. When you think of Mary's willingness to just do what she's called to do, which was obviously painful for her, not just in having a baby, but in the stigma that went with it and all the rest of it. When we think carefully of God's call upon his prophets, priests, those that he set aside for special work in one way or another, we realize that the call of God is as wide-ranging as it can possibly be. It's not just God grabbing a hold of the Samuels of the world. It's not just God knocking Paul from his horse to get his attention. Sometimes it's a little quieter than that. Does God still call? Well, yes, he does. God's gracious call is still extended to everyone on earth to move into a relationship with him through Jesus. That's the one call that we sometimes forget as a call. that for the person involved is every bit as dramatic as Samuel's call. We look at what Samuel accomplished and we think of being called into greatness. If we could talk to Samuel and ask him, do you think that he would say that his call was fundamentally different than anyone else's? And if you asked Samuel, if you said, Samuel, we'll put this choice before you. You can choose to remain this towering figure of priest and prophet, but you have to give up that relationship that you have with God. Which would you choose? Obviously, it's not in the text, but everything I understand about Samuel suggests that he would say, what I did was so much less important than my relationship with God. Of course I'd give that up. The relationship with God that Samuel was called into and from which flowed his office, his public ministry, the relationship he was called to is exactly the same as the relationship that we were called to. Because God does still call. Because God always initiates the relationship. Always. That's one of the things that struck me so powerfully when I moved into a denomination with a tradition of baptizing babies, which was foreign to me and had not been well served. It had not been explained to me well when I was in a non-infant baptizing tradition. It hadn't been explained at all. It had just been put off there as this crazy behavior that some people do and we don't, and aren't we happy about it? But there's something about baptizing a baby that reminds us that God always reaches out to us first. That God calls before we even can respond. And at its very best, the baptism of a baby is a reminder that God is reaching out to everyone, whether they know he exists or not. Because what baby knows God exists? I'm pretty sure my grandchildren know who I am because, well, it makes me happy to think that. From a child psychology perspective, I have no idea whether they recognize me or not. I love them just the same. The fact that they don't know that doesn't mean anything. And the fact that we didn't know God when God first reached out to us doesn't mean anything either. It doesn't change any of that. God's call is always the initiating factor. For Samuel, it was an initiation into an extraordinary priestly ministry. For Nathaniel, it was a call into an extraordinary apostolic ministry. Same for Paul. For Mary, it was a call into the extraordinary calling of being a mother. All of us are called into accomplishing different things for God. We're called to do different things for God. But first and foremost, we're called to become a child of God. We're called to respond to God's gracious invitation to have a relationship with Him. And that call is no less significant than a call to become a priest. A call to become an apostle. There's just something about human beings that we find it virtually impossible not to rank things. Not to look at what's more or less or better or worse or whatever. I mean, if you go on the internet at all, if you spend even minimal time there during the day, whether it's on Facebook or on people's blogs or you're just looking up information, sooner or later you're going to see a list of the 10 best or worst or whatever it might be, because we just love to rank things. There's nothing wrong with that. Except when it pushes us into this strange idea in ranking the unrankable. And so we'll look at what somebody does, and we'll say that on the basis of what they do, therefore they must have a better relationship with God, or a more significant relationship with God, or they must be more important to God, when nothing could be further from the truth. The single most important thing that we can do is move into that relationship with God. And once we've done that, we've now reached the pinnacle of anything we can be. And after that, it really doesn't matter what happens. Samuel's call was no more significant as far as his connection with God goes than anyone's call. Because when you move into a relationship with God, you've moved into a relationship with God as a child. And for anyone who has children, plural, go ahead, rank your kids. And you will. You'll say, well, that one's older. That one's taller. That one's easier to get along with today. Whatever it might be, you're going to come up with all these rankings. And you're going to say, which one is more your child? If anybody ever asks you that, you're going to look at them like they're crazy, because they are crazy. A child is a child is a child. You can't be more or less. You are, and once you are, you are. It's all or nothing. And after that flow all these other things that, when it comes to the reality of being a child, are unimportant. My three kids, even though two of them were born within a few minutes of each other, are as different than any other three people can be. They have different interests, they have different talents, they have different triggers, they have different things that drive them crazy and that make them laugh with delight. But none of them is more a daughter of mine than the other. And when it comes to valuing them, or when it comes to acknowledging them, or whatever word you want to use, there's no ranking there. They're all exactly the same. The call that we received, that we responded to, that moved us into that relationship with God, puts us on exactly equal footing with Samuel and Paul, Nathaniel, the rest of the apostles. All those great saints, with Billy Graham. When it comes to that, we are all absolutely equal. And from there, that relationship brings with it other calls of things that we're asked to do, to be sure. But if we think of our children, when we ask our children to do things, we ask them to do different things at different ages. And if I ask an 18-year-old to do something that is beyond the capabilities of an 8-year-old, does that mean that they're fundamentally better? No, it just means that they're different. And if I ask my kids to all do particular things and they all do them, then they've all performed equally well. They've all done what they've been asked to do. Billy Graham was asked to talk to millions of people. I was asked to talk to dozens, sometimes hundreds. You may have been asked to talk to one at a time. Which of us is exercising their call the best? It's a futile question. Are you or are you not? If you are, then you are. If you aren't, then you aren't. It's sort of an all or nothing question often. When God asks you, because the call isn't a one-time thing. The call into a relationship with God's a one-time thing, and then after that, God will ask you to do other things. He won't call you to become a priest like Samuel was, because we don't have those anymore. But maybe he'll call you to go and talk to that person who needs a kind word. And when you respond to that call, when you supply that kind word, are you in any way inferior to Samuel? No. When God calls and you say, here am I, what do you want me to do? You're doing everything that any of these did. Well, for that matter, if God calls you and you say, "Here am I, what do you want me to do?" You're two coals ahead of Samuel. If you do it without having to be knocked off a horse, if you do it without making nasty remarks about where the person's coming from, like Nathaniel did, then you're ahead of all them too. If you want to look at it that way. God's call is as real and is as important now as it ever was. And it's just as open to each of us as it ever was. And we do ourselves a disservice and we misunderstand God when we think that a call has to be to something big. That it has to be received in a flashy sort of way. Because God's call most of the time is just Him asking us to do what it is that He needs us to do. To be kind to that person that we might not have noticed otherwise. To go to work and do those things that we're called to do even when we're tired. To muster up that extra little bit of patience for that person who it's hard to be patient with. These are all calls from God. God doesn't just call us once and say, "Here you go. You're on your own." God doesn't call us to something and say, this is the only interaction we're ever going to have, except in your devotional life and when you sing on Sunday. It's an ongoing relationship. It begins with a call into that relationship and then continues with God asking us to do things, asking us to be His hands and His feet. And when we do that, we are responding to His call every bit as much as when Samuel did, every bit as much as when Nathaniel did. God calls. But just like then, we still need to answer. And we need to answer with, "Here am I. What is it that you need? What is it that only I can do? What is it that you want me to do? Because I'm happy to do it." Amen.